I may still do it, but I forgot my blindfold. So I may need something if I decide to do that. Zach, put up there John 14:6, because I wrote down the question, who or what is truth? You know, especially in the day and age that we live in, the Bible says that we have to love the truth. You know, well, how can you love something that you don't even know what it is? So we need to know what truth is, because there's a lot of things, a lot of people, and a lot of things that would try to make us believe what truth is, and it really is not. So John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, he said, I am the way, speaking of himself, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So in that verse we see that Jesus said himself is truth. John 17:17, Jesus said, go ahead and put that up there. I don't know if I wrote down the whole verse or not. Yeah, I did. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So the Bible says by at least two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So there's at least two different places that Jesus said what the truth is. He said he's the truth, right? The Bible says in John, he says that the Holy Spirit, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus himself said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and he said that God's word is truth. So anything that's opposite of God's word, it may be a fact, but it's not the truth. And the thing about facts is they are subject to change at any moment. Why? Because truth is eternal, right? That's how come God's word is eternal. It never changes. It's always the same. The same word that worked for them back then, you know, is the same word that works for us today. Why? Because he said, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. Excuse me. Now, I got a lot of stuff right down here, so where I want to go first. Now, I told you the title was Facts Doesn't Change Truth. The truth is, if you've been born again by Jesus' stripes, you've already been healed. Facts are COVID. Just like when that stuff attacked me, I'm telling you, I had one weekend that I actually, because of what I was going through and so much pain, I actually thought about suicide that Sunday morning, to the point where I thought, I cannot take this pain any longer. I mean, I felt like Indians had stripped my skin off of me. Everything that touched me hurt. My hair hurt. The day after the fever broke and all of that, I went like that, and my hair felt sore, if that's possible. I mean, my hair right now don't feel like nothing, you know, if that's possible. Why am I telling you all this? Because the facts became so strong and so overwhelming in my mind, I'm having to keep my mind. Why? Because there's facts that can attack you to the point where they try to move you away from what the truth is. The truth is, by Jesus' stripes, I have already been healed, right? That's not something we're looking for today. That's like I asked you last week, you know, or told you last week, that salvation is a package deal. The day I got born again, well, before I ever got born again, whenever the Bible says that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, y'all remember that, right? And he's praying, and the Bible says that his sweat became as great drops of blood. It's been scientifically proven that you can be under so much pressure that the pores of your skin opens up and lets out a little bit of droplets of blood. So that's the first place that he shed his blood. He was on the whipping post. I mean, they tore chunks out of his back, beat him, spit on him, pulled, the Bible talks about, clumps of hair out of his beard. I mean, he bled all over the place. He didn't just bleed at the cross. And all of that started before I ever even got here. But it was done for me there, but it wasn't just to pay the price for my sin. Y'all getting real quiet. So how can I pray and say, okay, God, if it be your will, I'll be healed? I mean, that's like somebody saying, okay, God, if it's your will, I'll be saved. When the Bible tells me what God's will is, and that's the truth, he says that he would that none should perish, right, but all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be born again. When Jesus did everything that he did, when he shed his blood and went to the cross and all that and went to hell and was raised from the grave, he did that for everybody. But not everybody's going to receive it, so therefore everybody won't be born again. But it's done for everybody, right? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, what did he say? It's finished. There's nothing about anybody's salvation that's not already been finished. But the thing about it is, there's not anything that hasn't already been done for somebody's healing. It was done at the same time. So I can't ever say, God, if it be your will, excuse me, I'll be healed. Why? Because it was done at the exact same time. Y'all real quiet. I've heard people pray that way. You know, well, if it's God's will, you know, I'll be healed. No, it is God's will. How do I know his will? He told me in his word. I mean, that's a contradictory statement to say that God put cancer on me to teach me something, or I'd slow down or something or another, when the Bible says Jesus took upon himself stripes, that God placed sickness and disease upon him so I can be healed. God put my sin on him so that I can be made whole, right? That I can be sinless and righteous, right? So all of that was done at the exact same time. The same thing, I have already been delivered. We read the scripture last week, right? When we got into it, I told you that's one of the things that helped me overcome smoking cigarettes. I had smoked cigarettes. And y'all don't get off on cigarettes, because some people come to me after service and they was like I was on cigarettes. It doesn't matter what it is. That was just a scripture that I used for that problem. Yours could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be overeating. I don't care what it is. It could be gossip. It could be you don't control your mind. Doesn't matter what it is. The scripture says, I have already, half past tense, been delivered from all the power of darkness. Well, cigarettes is not of the light. I don't care what devil told you they are. They're not of the light. I didn't say you'd go to hell for smoking. You might smell like it. But I smoked for years and years. And after I got born again and God began to deal with it, I didn't want to smoke anymore. I mean, like I said last week, I think I was born wanting to smoke. I mean, it just seemed that way. Then I've got, you know, a sister or whatever. That girl, I mean, smoking just stuffs her up. Mom was laughing because she knows what I'm talking about. The thought of smoking a cigarette would make her puke. You know, raised in the same household, got the same mama. You wouldn't think it would be that way. But because we're born into sin, everybody's born with a certain bent toward a certain sins. And ungodliness and unrighteousness and things that is not like God and that God doesn't want. So smoking is not of the light. But anyway, God began to deal with me about it, and I didn't want to smoke anymore. Well, I squall, I bawl, I go to the altar, I pray, God, please help me take these cigarettes away. What's he going to do with them? He don't smoke neither. I mean, honestly, I squall and I bawl and I go to the altar and I pray. Brother Brad has quit smoking classes for all of us that smoked, that wanted to come, you know, and even brought out these papers, you know, that smoking cigarettes is 9 times more addicting than heroin and different stuff like that. And part of me wanted to be there, the right part with God, but my flesh did not want to be there. Why? Because it wanted to smoke. But when I read those scriptures, after I don't know how many times I threw cigarettes out the window, you know, I poured water in whole packs of cigarettes. I mean, all kinds of stuff, so I couldn't go back just to go buy some more. Listen, I don't care if you do patches, Chantix, whatever you do in the name, whatever helps you. But don't ever go without the Word of God. Why? Because it is the truth, and it can change the facts of your situation. The fact was, I was addicted to cigarettes. I mean, a few hours, 5 or 6 hours without a cigarette, I'm drooling. I'm not kidding. My mouth is watering and I am drooling. Why? Because my flesh has an addiction to the cigarette. Well, I mean, years and years and years and years and years went by and everything, you know. And I mean, I tried everything that I know and cried and felt bad and all that stuff. And then I come across that scripture and see, I would try to quit smoking, but I would focus on the quitting smoking. Wrong focus. I ain't never lost no weight by keeping on thinking, I can't eat that ice cream. I can't eat that. I can't. I'm going to eat that ice cream. Because there's just something about the nature of the flesh. All the way back to the garden, God told Adam and Eve, he said, okay. He said, eat of any fruit that you want. He says, but not that one right there. And there's just something in me that's in everybody's flesh. If you tell me I can't have it, or I can't do it, that's the very thing I want, and that's the very thing I'm going to do my best to do. Ain't that what they done? They could eat everything there, but they went and they ate of that one. But anyway, I come across that scripture over there that we read. Let's just go over there and read it. Where was that? Colossians 1, I think that's where it was at. Just to refresh our memories. We got all the way until Monty does Sunday school again, and then after that, if the Lord leads us right, won't be in a hurry. But see, my flesh always likes to hear something new. Y'all ain't saying no. When it's scientifically proven, you only retain 10% or less of what you heard. Oh, that tells me I got 90% that I didn't even hear. But here in Colossians 1, starting in verse 9, now the Apostle Paul has started out and he's praying for these people. Now the Bible says that every word that is written is inspired by God, right? So I believe that the Apostle Paul, he's being led what he's praying, because the Holy Ghost is even having him to record this at a later date. And then he switches from praying for them into declaring what's already happened for them. Now we'll start in verse 9. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now notice how he starts now. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath, that's a past tense word, right? I wasn't real good in English, but I got that part. That means it's already been done, right? He's not something he's going to do or something that's happening right now. It's already been done. Past tense. Hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath, already been done, delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath, past tense, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This verse helped me to quit smoking. Now, that wasn't the only thing, but this was the verse that God used to help me, because I would try to focus on not smoking. Focusing on not smoking would not help me. It'd make me want to smoke more. Why? My focus is on the smoking. Now listen, don't get into cigarettes. You may not even smoke. You may have 100 other different problems. I'm just telling you my situation of how this truth of God's word changed the facts in my life. Because this word told me I have already been delivered from cigarettes. So therefore, while I was quit, after I put them away, and I said, okay, I'm done. I don't smoke anymore. And the thought would come up and the drooling would start or whatever and all this stuff. I would say out my mouth. Why? Because thoughts don't overcome thoughts. Words take authority over thoughts. You can't think something in your mind and say something different out your mouth at the same time. To prove that, I could tell you count to 10 and then I could tell you to say something. You got to stop counting in your mind to say something out your mouth. So when it would come, I would say, nope, I don't smoke. I'm not going to start. I've already been delivered from smoking cigarettes. I'm already delivered. Therefore, they have no power or authority over me. What am I focusing on? My deliverance that's already been done. Why? Because this is the truth. In the spirit, I'm already delivered from all the power of darkness. Whether it's worry, y'all don't want to say nothing on that one. If you worry, you're not controlling your mind a bit. And it can actually make you physically sick. It can make you, cause you to make choices, that wrong choices that you wouldn't have made had you not been meditating on the wrong thought. So it doesn't matter what the situation is. If you're meditating and worrying and all that, the power of darkness you're allowing to work in your mind. Every drug addict that gets born again, I don't care what your thoughts was, what your feelings was, an alcoholic, you know, that's one thing about AA. They say if you was ever an alcoholic, you'll always be an alcoholic. That's a lie. The Bible tells me, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, verse 17. It says, every man that's been born again, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, the day I got born again, I was no longer a smoker. Well, I saw you still puffing. That's okay. That's a fact. But in the spirit, I'm already delivered from smoking cigarettes. In the spirit, I'm already delivered from alcohol. In the spirit, I'm already delivered from worry and fear and doubt. And I'm delivered from all of that. What's the problem? The Bible Bible says the salvation that's come on the inside of me, work it out. That's the part we don't like. See, I want to pray and say, God, give us revival. Oh, Lord, give us revival. You know what I mean? I mean, God, walk through the doors and show yourself out. You know what he calls revival? Repentance. You want revival? Repent. Seek him. Doesn't he say if you'll seek him, you will find him? That's not what I want, though. Why? Because that causes me to have to do something. I might have to fast a little. I might have to pray some. God forbid that I have to shed a tear or anything. So when I pray for revival, what I'm saying is, God, do it all. Make me feel like I'm so in love with you. So when you pray and you say, God, help me overcome this. I know what y'all say. Y'all saying, God, come take it away. Make me not want to do it. And he's saying, you already delivered. Walk it out. Walk it out. The salvation that has come on the inside of you, walk it out. And one of the ways that you're going to do that is Romans 12:2. Take the word of God, which is truth, and renew your mind with it. That's exactly what I would have to do. Every time a thought of smoking a cigarette would come to my mind, or I would have that feeling or that desire or whatever, I don't know how many times I've done it a day. And this went on, I mean, for weeks. I still, at different times, I could smoke a cigarette as long as my leg at different times. The thought comes to me. But you know what? I did smoke some after that. I smoked three after that and everything. Just because my mind wouldn't shut up. And you know what? That was the nastiest thing I have ever done. Awful. Just awful. And I thought to myself, this is nothing like what my mind was telling me it was going to be. This was awful. I used to enjoy it. I used to think it was good. And this is just awful. So therefore now, I take that and I use it as wisdom, Johnny. Every time the thought comes to me now, or the feeling, or the devil, or whatever you want to call it, comes, I say, nope, I know it's not going to be like you're telling me it is. I don't smoke, and I'm not going to start. I don't want it. And you know what? It goes away. Till however long it comes again. See, just because you've been delivered from something don't mean the devil's not ever going to try it again, right? The Bible says he even come to Jesus and tempted him and tested him, but then it says he left him for a more opportune time. See, he'll tell you, I thought you was delivered. I am. Just like he'll tell you, you know, if you cuss somebody out or you hit your finger with a hammer and you say a word that you used to say or something, I thought you was saved. I am. I'm saved. I don't know what it is. It must just be me or something, Johnny. I don't know. Y'all just look real cute out there. So holy. Y'all will never do none of this. There was somebody done something the other day, sent Scotty a message saying something about me. And I'm like, well, when I get in front of them, you know, it's just real easy to bust a caps lock on somebody when they're over there on the other side of the country. But now we got this Christmas thing we're going to, and I hope you're there, because to my face, I'm going to say, you've been looking for me? You don't got to love no father. I'm here. What you going to do with me? Why? Because in my flesh, I get tired of that. I get tired of being nice. I get tired of turning the cheek. I only read it where it said turn the other cheek. I don't see where it says turn it back again, which I know that he does. I'm sure he does. Why? Because I know him. Right? But in my flesh, it gets tired of that. And I'm just as saved April last week as what I was the day I repented and got born again. What's happening? I'm not killing that flesh. I'm not using the truth on the facts of how I feel. Because, Scotty, come up, please. I'm going to have to do the illustration. You just have to close your eyes, and you better not peek. If you do, we're going to know it. Now, you know my voice, right? Stop right there. This is one there. You got to do exactly what I tell you. I got to use this more often. Close your eyes. I will. Close your eyes. Don't open. Don't peek. They're all watching you. You know my voice, right? The Bible says, we his sheep, we hear his voice, right? He says, in the voice of a stranger, we don't know it and we won't follow it, right? Scotty, start walking forward. this is God. You got born again? Stop for a second. Let me explain something. This room is everything in this world. We talked about it last week. Johnny was 20-something when he got saved. I was like 22, 23, nearly whatever. For all those years, I had walked and conducted my life by everything that I heard, everything that I saw, everything that I tasted, everything that I felt with my physical body and my soul, right? Everybody. But the day you get born again, it's like this. Ain't nothing you can see in that realm. And now God flips the script and he says, okay, you are my sheep now. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. But it ain't going to be by nothing you can see. It's not going to be by anything that you can feel. You have got to learn my voice, and my truth tells you my voice. See, April's Facebook last night. Did y'all see that? How April said she has the most wonderful, awesome husband in the entire world. And I read that and I thought, April don't talk like that. Why? To a certain degree, I know April. Right? To a certain degree, you know God, right? How? Because the book tells you. One thing, he says, I'm the Lord thy God, and I don't change. So therefore, when I hear something coming that don't line up with the book, I'm like, no, I don't think so. So Scotty, he gets born again. Okay. He gets born again. He says, okay, I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to guide you by my spirit and my word. Ain't nothing you can see. So everything to you is now totally unfamiliar. Why? Because now you got to walk by the Spirit. You walk and you live by what? Faith. What is that? Trust. Confidence. Scotty knows my voice. So start walking, Scotty. Forward. Get a little. Stop for a second. Stop for that. That's what we try to do. I need to feel something, God. Hey, this is my experience. Hey, I didn't tell you to turn around, and you open your eyes up, too. He cheated. I knew I should have brought the blindfold. He cheated. But that's what we'll do. We'll hear God's voice. We'll start walking along. Then we don't hear nothing else sometimes for a little while. Well, he ain't changed his mind. Keep walking. Did I tell him to stop? Well, keep walking then. Keep walking. Stop. That is exactly what God does sometimes. I mean, he will let you go till you are right here. Turn right. Walk. Go right a little. Go right. Are you sure you're not peeking? Go straight. Stop. You can stop now. Thank you. But that is exactly how it is for us. Why? Because we have nothing now to go by. And I don't know if y'all know it or not, but starting this year, and really this year, that is exactly the way things have been. And for God's people, God is saying to us, stop looking. Stop feeling. Just do what I tell you to do, and you'll be fine. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left, the Bible says, right over in Proverbs. What do you got to look to? In here. Why? He's in you. There's times that I have thoughts, April, I'm thinking about doing something, or is this right, or is this not right, or what? And in my, I'm just thinking in my thoughts. I ain't even said nothing down in my mouth yet. And in here, it's like, nah. Why? He's on the inside of me and you, if you've been born again. Then he gives us his word that is just like confirmation to what we're getting on the inside. Then you'll go to church and somebody will minister on it. God is faithful. He's absolutely faithful. But I don't know about y'all, but I love to do like this. When God is saying, keep your hands down and just do what I tell you to do. Because when you get over there at the wall and you feel it, you're going to start wondering, what is this? Especially if you've never been in this room. What is this? This is cold. This is hard. I mean, you about could think it's a lot of things. But God never even told you to look at it or feel of it. And it's going to get you to do something that he never told you to do. So we read in that scripture there, we've already, if you've been born again, you're already delivered from all, he said, of the power of darkness. darkness, which is the devil and things of his kingdom and all, has no power over you whatsoever. Now, it may be a fact. You may have problems in your flesh. You may have problems in your mind or whatever the case may be. But that's where you have to take the truth of the Word of God and change those facts. The Bible says in Romans 12, 2, it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's no other place that I know of that says anything about being transformed that it'll be something different. Why? Because my mind is in my soul. In my soul is my mind, my will, and my emotions. That's where I think, that's where I decide and determine what I'm going to do now. So therefore, if I don't renew my mind, I'll keep doing the things that I've always done, even though I'm saved now. Why? Because you can't go any further than what you can think. You won't act any different than what you can think. You won't do any different than what you can believe. It's kind of like Scotty about poverty. I didn't have a poverty mentality. What I mean by that, a pattern of thinking like he did. I mean, we wasn't rich or anything when I was growing up or whatever, but we wasn't like Scotty and his family of 17 kids, you know. He says that his mama would make two big pans of biscuits and everything, and you'd be lucky if you got one. You know, the older ones, they get there first, you know. So, and it just is what it is. Well, so he had a patterned way of thinking of poverty. So God puts him in his own business. The man has, I don't know how many drop cords out there in that shop. The ends are cut off. They're duct taped together. Maybe pieced five or six different places, you know, and everything. And he has a bunch of them. And the reason he keeps them is, I might need that. You got to give you a brand new one, but I might need them 10 that's like that. What is that? Some might would say, well, that's just, you know, saving for a rainy day, or, you know, like your 1,500 butter bowls. I don't have a problem with saving a butter bowl. You understand? God doesn't have a problem saving a butter bowl. But if all of your cabinets is full of saved butter bowls, you might have a problem. Why? You can't buy Tupperware? Did that go over your head or what? So God began to deal with him. And guess who he used? My mouth. But see, God had already dealt with him, but he didn't do nothing about it. Because see, the thing about God is, he will keep on and on and on about you. He'll talk to you about you first. And if you don't listen, he'll send somebody to talk to you about you. Why? He's faithful. You'd rather do that before it gets out into somebody else's business. He's faithful. He'll send somebody to preach on it, right? But anyway, he used my voice. And I told him, why don't you throw them drop cords away? Well, Tracy, I might need them. Don't you understand? That's $20. That's blah, blah, blah money, whatever. What's happening? The first thing he's doing is thinking about how much it's going to cost. God doesn't care how much something. Why am I telling you this? Because all of us have a certain way of thinking. And a lot of our thinking determines the way we have lived our life up until this point. And God is saying, okay, you're a born-again person. I'm on the inside of you. Now I've got to take you to do something different with your life. But if you don't renew your mind, I can't even do the thing that I have for you. Why? Because God won't make me do something. So we have to stop going by what we see and what we hear. Now, I said a little bit of this Wednesday night because Sandy brought it up about the election and all that stuff. I'm telling you, the devil is a master illusionist. He has been since the beginning. Have you ever been to something where they do, what do you call them people? Magicians or whatever, you know? They're not really doing the stuff they're tricking your mind into thinking they're doing. That's the way the devil is. And he's a master at it. And before this year and this entire year, and it's even got worse, he has mastered making God's people, a lot of them, believe things that are not so, they're lies. Y'all ain't saying that. I'm not just talking about the elections. Listen, some of them people on TV, they believe what they're telling you, and then some of them, they know it's not true about certain things they put on there. And a lot of people believe, well, if it's on TV, it's got to be the truth. That's a lie. Jesus said he's the truth. He said God's word is truth, right? If it doesn't line up with Jesus, his will and his ways, and it doesn't line up with God's word, it is not the truth. I don't care if you feel it all over you. It's not the truth. There's no way you can make me believe that God is for abortion. There's just no way. I cannot agree with that. Scripture doesn't agree with that. The spirit on the inside of me doesn't agree with that. God said, we are not to shed innocent blood, and you can't get no more innocent than that. So therefore, I have to know that's not God. I don't care how nice you are. I mean, that's kind of like Trump. I really don't care for his personality, because mine and his is a lot alike, and usually you attract the opposite. Scotty is totally opposite of me. So then you put us together, and we just really kind of grind gears about a lot of stuff. So Trump, therefore, his personality is a lot like mine, you know, kind of blunt and outspoken. So I really just don't care for that. He had nothing to do with my decision of my vote as far as his personality, why I'm not voting for a personality. A lot of God's people are looking to vote and make their decisions of their life on a personality. And you better not do it. My personality may rub you every way but right. But those that really know me, I would help you in a second. Unless you're trying to take advantage, and then we're going to have a problem. I mean, this is not to take my, I'm just telling you this for purposes. Those that had COVID that I found out that, when I had COVID and I was so bad sick and everything, I'm laying there and I'm thinking, okay, God, when this is over with, God, somebody that has COVID, I'm going to go be a blessing. God, I want to be a blessing. I'm going to be a blessing. So I found out Miss Phyllis had COVID and Randy down here had COVID as well. I went to Lucky's and I bought a cake. I went home. I made the cake. I cooked it nice and all that. I let it cool off. And I brought it over here. I gave Miss Phyllis some. I gave Max some. I gave Randy some. And all. You would not think I would do that, would you? Would you? Really? Would you think I would do that? Huh. I told Scotty, he's saying something about it, you know, and I said, ain't nobody at church would believe I would be doing this, would they? You see, that's because you don't know me like that. Oh, my goodness. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. God calls things that be not as though they were. He doesn't call things the way they are. Listen. Because of the way time and different things is set up here in the earth, everybody had to come from somebody and all that stuff and everything. And we believe things when we see things, you know, and all that. But do you realize Blake was before he ever got here? Ain't nobody seen. April don't know nothing about him. Why? The Bible says we was in God before we ever got here. That was before the foundation of the earth ever got started. So therefore, God knew him, every one of us, and had a plan and had a purpose before I ever got here. So the thing about God, we used, Gideon last week. God went to him and he told him, angel of the Lord went and told him, he said, mighty man of valor, Gideon is a chicken. God went to him and he told him, he said, tear down the altars of Baal and that his forefathers had built up and worshiped the idols and all that stuff. When he goes and does it, he waits till it gets dark, like Antifa. I had to throw that one in there. So the Bible says we are of the day. We're of the light. We're not of darkness, right? Anyway, he didn't go and do all of that until after it got dark. Why? He's a chicken. But the angel of the Lord called him a mighty man of valor. See, I told you last week, there's preachers sitting in bars that ain't even got born again, but they're going to give an account for the life that they, whether or not they fulfilled the will and purpose of God. And they may never even knew they was going to be a preacher. That don't matter. It was your job to find out. And every one of us is going to give an account before God of what we did with this life. Y'all remember the story of the parables, don't you? what was it? One got five, one got two, and one got one. I think that's what it was. Well, the one that got five, he went and gained five more. He done something with what he had. He got praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. Why? God expects to give you something, and then you go and you make it productive. God is not a God of just sit by and do nothing. And so he got five more. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, the one that got two, he gained more, you know. And the one that got one, he said, I knew you to be a hard man where you reap where you didn't sow. Well, that's a lie. God never reaps where he didn't sow. He sowed Jesus, therefore, to get all of us. God is not a hard man. Right? The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. He's not hard and he's not harsh. Well, he told him, he said, you wicked, lazy servant. So therefore, when we get there, every one of us is going to give an account to God for our lives. Did we do the will and purpose of God, and how much of it did we do? And we'll be rewarded. The Bible talks about how there'll be crowns given out. There'll be rewards given out for those that did whatever purpose and will of God that it was that we found out about and did. But it says he calls those things that be not as though they were. I would have not called. I mean, he's preaching to come home and tear the porch down because he's mad at me. And I told him, I said, some preacher you are. Why in my mind preachers just don't do that? Now, they don't after they grow and develop a little bit. I mean, Scotty hadn't been saved for 8 months, and I mean, he's going to the jails and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I just started doing nursery, I think, years after I got saved. God couldn't let me out with nobody much. But my point is, God will call you something that it seems like you're not. But in his purpose, in his heart, in his mind, you've always been. You just ain't caught up yet with the picture that he painted of you or me, whoever that the case may be. And the more that you work out or walk out that salvation that's taking place on the inside of you, in your spirit, work it out through your soul, your mind, your emotions, and even your physical body, the Bible says we're supposed to have discipline, right? As Christians, supposed to have discipline. What's that mean? I don't cuss everybody out anymore. I may want to, but I don't have to do everything that I feel anymore. And just because I feel it don't mean it's wrong. See, the Bible says Jesus was tempted just like me and you. You understand temptation's not a sin? Until I do something about it. Jesus himself was tempted, the Bible says, in all points, just like us, but yet without sin. So he calls those things that be not. Listen, I don't care how bad your marriage is, don't call it the way you see it. For me, that is one major thing that I have to work on. Just to let y'all in on a little secret, because I know y'all got it bad as I do, so this should help y'all a lot. I don't know if it works this way with y'all. I've used this illustration before. Scotty's way better. He picks him up now. I ain't had to pick him up in a long time. He has this thing about when he comes in the door, he comes in the back door. And when he comes in, all his clothes comes off in the kitchen. Delta, his underwear. I know as your pastor, don't imagine that. But anyway, I'm just telling y'all. And he'll leave them there sometimes for days. Now, years ago, I would have to pick up. He just wouldn't pick them up. That's where he come in, and that's where they stayed. And he'd get new ones and go back out and come in. And I would go and start picking them clothes. I tell you right now, out loud. I tell you right now, that man, I'm going to divorce him. I'm telling you, I'm about sick and tired of this junk. He better not come in this evening while I'm picking them clothes. He better not come in this evening telling me nothing. I'll bust him right in his mouth. I'm telling you right now, throw these things in the water. I'm calling things exactly like I feel them, Jackie, and exactly like I see them. And I'm prophesying to the future that if he comes in that door and opens his mouth to me, I'm going to bust it. You ain't said nothing. See, the Bible says there's life and death in the power of my tongue. So therefore, Scotty's not even there. And the devil is tempting me to prophesy to my future bad. No marriage staying together. He don't care what it is. Dirty clothes in the floor, commode lid left up, toothpaste spin on the mirror. He don't give a rip what it is. just divide. That's all he cares about. And so, therefore, I have learned, and hopefully I'm a lot better at it, regardless, pick up the clothes, which I don't have to no more. He, God help you, he does that pretty much most of the time. But whatever it is, ring a coffee on the sink, I don't care. Keep your mouth shut. Don't call it the way you see it. Don't say it out of your mouth how it feels. Scotty has this thing, and that's because he's trained himself, because I'm not real easy to live with. I know y'all wouldn't believe that, but I'm a very good person, I think I am. But I'm very hard to live with. Why? Just yesterday, and I don't mean this stuff to be this way. It just comes out like that. Yesterday, we had went into the shoe store and bought me some new shoes where my sister had said, told me there was or whatever. Anyway, and we get back home, and I've got all this stuff, and Scotty, I've got the keys to unlock the door, you know. And he gets out, and he's got like a bottle in his hand or whatever. And I've got a bag. My shoes are in the bag in the back seat over here on my side because he drove and everything. And he had come around. He's standing there waiting on me. I said, get them shoes out of the back. He's standing there. I said, they're in the back there. He's standing there. I said, they're in the back. Get them shoes out of the back. He's like, oh, you want me to get them shoes out? I'm like, hello, let your elevator go to the top, buddy. They're in the back. My hands are full. You're waiting on me to get out with all this stuff and unlock the door and get the shoes. And I could hear myself say all of that, you know, and repeat myself like, what, three times or whatever? And I thought, well, gosh, that was a little hard or whatever, you know. I don't mean for it to come out sounding the way that it sounds sometimes. Anyway, my point is, I'm not real easy to live with sometimes. So, therefore, I have been a project for him to work with to get closer to God. See, I know y'all don't think that's God, but it is. Just ask him, God, help me love. Help me walk in love, God. You're going to get you the biggest, ugliest, hairiest devil, unlovable person you've ever seen in your life. Because, see, we pray and we ask God, but that ain't the way what we meant. What we meant was, God, make me feel it. He's like, I don't care what you feel. The love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, sister. Get out there and live it. But that's not what I wanted, Monty. So therefore, God has helped him with me. I am the sandpaper to get the rough images off of him. Why? Because he's been made in the image and likeness of God, Doris. But he don't quite look like that. So therefore, God sends me. Now, I'm not talking about ungodliness or sin. You understand? People's personality can be different without them being something wrong with them or ungodly. So I have been the sandpaper to help get the rough edges off of him and vice versa. But I think he's worked on it maybe a little more than I have or whatever, because I tell you three times to get the shoes out, you know. So therefore, a lot of times, and I think you need to get more up on this. I think your clutch is slipping a little there. I think you've been a little ugly to me now that I think about it. But anyway, most of the time, he will say something like, you are the cutest. You are so sweet. And I'm like, whatever. Beth is laughing because she hears some of it, you know. Or he'll say, you're so sweet. I'm like, whatever, go on now. Or he'll say, you're funny. And I'm like, I'm the least funny person you know. Now shut that up and go on. And it's always at the wrong time. Wrong time. Tell me some. He'll tell me that, Sandy, when I'm the most serious. I'm trying to be serious, but you're so funny. No, I'm not. But what does he do? When I'm being ugly, he'll call me sweet. He may feel like I'm being ugly, but he'll call me sweet. That's why I say I think your clutch is slipping. I think you've been calling me like I am here lately, and it's not helping me. But what does that do? Number one, it keeps him in the right spirit. Number two, it'll help me too. Why? Because God says he calls those things that be not as though they were. Not like they are, but as though they were. What's that mean? Past tense, they already done. If I'm not sweet yet, see me with faith and I will be sweet in your future. But if you keep calling me ugly, I'm going to keep being ugly and I'm going to get even more uglier. If your situation, if you ain't got no money and you keep calling yourself the broke, listen, why do you call a dog? my dog, or not my dog, Travis's dog, one of them, his name is Minnie. And I go out there, if I want him to come, if I'm putting scraps out or something or whatever, I'll call her. I say, Minnie, come on, you know, or whatever. I don't say it like that, but anyway, I'm not going to do that. And I'll call the dog. Why? I want the dog to come. When I don't want the dog to come, I don't call it. So if you want poverty to keep coming, keep calling the broke. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all keep calling the I can't afford it. Why? You're going to keep getting what you keep calling. Everything you feel may feel broke. Everything you see, your bank account may look like, you may not even have a bank account, may look like you can't afford it. But if you don't want that to come, don't call it. Why? God didn't want darkness to come. Darkness was already there. What did he call light? What came? Darkness? Light. Why? He calls those things that be not as though they were. He calls me and you the righteousness of God. Why? He made us that way. Does that mean all of our actions are completely right all the time? Ain't one of us in here that are. Right? Oh, gosh. I didn't even get to the bottom of this page yet. And I got to stop because time is already up. Does anybody have any questions or comments or anything on this subject before we close?